Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
It's time to take a look at music news with our music guy, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. I'm not as warm as you are. I know that.
You're probably not, no. And you're probably not sitting next to the ocean like we are with
no.
a beach
no,
and
no.
cocktails.
Nope. I'm staring out at the snow.
But I'm trying not to depress you.
I'm trying not to say what I'm thinking. So.
Okay. All right. Very good.
So we're even.
But things have gone well here all week. You'd be happy to know that.
Well, except for being bitterly disappointed over the Spice Girls not showing up at the royal wedding. You know, that's a tough one.
I think they're going to show up at the royal wedding. The question about the Spice Girls now, and I still have trouble with your ongoing interest with this, but is that the tour? It looks like any future reunion won't be happening. There were all sorts of things. You know, Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham, has been pretty adamant she's not going to take part in much of anything, you know, beyond maybe the royal wedding. So there were talks about maybe a one-off. There were talks about a limited tour of select cities. Then there was talk about them doing it as a four-piece, which they had done in the past. Now Mel C, who we know is Sporty Spice, has come out and said, nah, you know, if it's five or not, we're not going to do anything kind of half-cocked this time. So they seem to quietly be putting the kibosh on anything major happening.
All right. Well, as you know, we're in Jamaica, and there's a lot of Bob Marley that goes on around here. Steve, our sports guy.
First time caller, Gary, long time listener, love the show. Have only a cursory knowledge of music, so I am glad you are here as the expert.
Okay.
I have a roll full of quarters on Bob Marley questions. I'm just going to start feeding them into the machine. One after another after another.
Question number one.
All right, number one, what made Marley so great?
Oh, just, you know, listen to the song. I mean, the guy is a great songwriter. You know, say what you will about reggae and the beat and the bass lines and everything that makes reggae reggae, and I suppose the ganja. But the guy's a tremendous songwriter. You know, these hold up as, you know, rock songs, as pop songs, as rhythm and blues songs. That's what makes Bob Marley great.
Was he revolutionary when he burst on the scene?
He was. He and, you know, a number of his compatriots, you know, Jimmy Cliff and some of the other original Wailers, they took reggae. They basically created reggae. It was a whole other kind of music. And
really?
they added very modern rock and roll touches to it, instrumentation, arrangement and other things, and made it a whole different kind of music form.
All right, who's the best since Marley?
Who's the best since Marley? You know, some people would want to say Ziggy Marley.
Okay.
I like still Steel Pulse myself. I don't think there has been a revolutionary breakthrough reggae artist, you know, since Bob Marley. They're all basically operating in the mold that Bob Marley worked in.
So how many Marley kids are doing music? Because he had quite a few kids.
Yeah,
at least
4,000.
Did every Marley kid try his hand at music just because it's
about
a license to print some money? Hey, I'm a Marley. Listen to my CD.
Oh, yeah, no, just about. You know, the big ones, of course, are Ziggy, you know, Marley, Stephen Marley, who's great. You know, they had a family band at one point. Damian Marley has done very well for himself. He's done some collaborations with some very notable rappers. So those are the three biggies among the kids.
For 27. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Three out of 27.
Yeah, now are they? They're not like the Zappas, are they? Where there's two camps of Marleys, you know, warring with each other.
No, give it time. There's about 4,000 camps of Marley.
Okay.
No, but it seems like the family kind of keeps all that stuff under control. I think Sedalia, the mom of most of them, you know, has kept everybody pretty much in line with that, and has kept the estate. I know Ziggy is the active partner in Tuff Gong, which is the family company. So you're not going to see the kind of fighting like you see with the Zappa kids.
Does he have full license rights to the songs?
Say, who has?
Does Marley and his estate have full license rights to the songs?
They do.
Because I know that
they
sometimes those things get hung up, right?
Yeah, no, they do share it. They share it with the Universal conglomerate. You know, he was on Island Records, and then that eventually became part of Universal. But no, the Marley family has pretty full control.
What about his likeness? Because he's on every T-shirt down here.
I mean, somebody that looks like him, is on every T-shirt.
There's a lot. That's a loaded issue because of the way things are in Jamaica. You know, if you don't want to anger the wrong T-shirt vendor. So I think
mafia.
I think they allow a lot of stuff to go on in their best interest.
How much money does the Marley estate generate yet every year? What with the royalties and the likenesses and all that stuff?
Crap load. How's that?
In the millions.
A ton.
In the tens of millions.
Tens of millions every year. There's still money just rolling
I think they make millions just on the annual sales of the Legend album, that greatest hits album.
And you know what? Laugh all you want. Those Marley kids aren't on the front page of the paper like Lisa Marie Presley, who has wasted all Elvis's money. It's all gone.
Yeah.
What was her debt, Brian? She had $14,000.
$14,000.
And her debt was what? She had rolled up millions in debt.
Oh, was it 100? I can't remember what it was.
Is the Presley estate not kicking off any more heat? Is the coal out?
No, they still make a lot of money.
But she spends it faster than it makes.
Well, and also she doesn't get – Lisa Marie doesn't get all of it.
Is she still getting a trickle?
Right? You know, Priscilla's still with us. She's the main beneficiary.
All right, back to Marley. Is there a Bob Marley tribute act that goes around with a lead frontman who looks just like Bob Marley, Mon?
There's a few.
And does all the Bob Marley songs, Mon?
There's a few of those.
Like
more than a few. There's a bunch of them all over the world.
And how stoned would you have to be to convince yourself it is the real Bob Marley?
What?
Even though he passed in 81.
What? I haven't seen a lot of them, but I do know some of them have very good reputations, and they go out and they play the music really well. So a good tribute band does not have to look just like the band they're paying tribute to. It's more important they sound like it.
Right, but you don't want some white dude who looks like an accountant knocking out Marley songs.
Wild. That would be super wild.
Well, if he's got dreads on, maybe.
Is it maybe like the little Filipino point man who took over for
Journey?
For Journey. He was great, but he didn't look the part.
He looks, although he doesn't look, he's
sings
shorter,
the songs.
He's skinny and long dark hair, you know.
Speaking of Journey, their greatest hits album, just did their 500th
week? 500 weeks on the Billboard chart.
Is that a record?
It's not a record, but it's one of, I think, six that has accomplished that in the past.
That is amazing.
Oh, yeah. That came out, Legend, among those is Legend, the Bob Marley album.
There you go.
And Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
All right, so Huey Lewis.
Among all dead artists,
yes,
Michael Jackson makes the most. Elvis Presley is 2. Charles Schulz is 3. Elizabeth Taylor 4. And Bob Marley 5.
There you go.
Respect, Ma.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. All right. What was I going to say? Bob Marley. The Wailers. Huey Lewis is coming to State Fair. It was just announced. And the Wailers are his opening act. Who is in the Wailers?
I'm not sure who the current lineup is. There's usually two or three of the guys who were part of it and who actually recorded with Bob Marley. I think Aston, the main guy is Aston Barrett, and his son is part of it. Junior Marvin's, I think, still part of the current Wailers, and those guys spent a lot of time playing with Bob Marley.
All right, for the record, for all you sitting here, Gary sends us a list every Thursday night before we're on with him on Friday on things that, these are topics we can talk about, and we never stick to the list that tight. There was no prepping for Bob Marley. He did all that off the top of his head. You knew the record. That's amazing.
You picked the right one. There are a couple other reggae artists we would have been in a lot of trouble with. I would have been claiming vacation in Jamaica on those.
And that is the first two where our sports guy took over the music segment and had all kinds of questions.
Were they good questions?
I thought they were.
They were good questions. Wait, how come he got to be down there and did I miss the jet or something?
Hey.
We got to get Gary in on some of this stuff.
Right.
Mow your own lawn, Graf.
All right, Gary, before we got off the Bob Marley train, top five Marley songs. We couldn't get an answer to this the other night on the bus coming back to the resort. What are they?
Oh, boy, thanks.
The best, not the best-selling, just the best song.
Well, that's a personal thing.
Well, you got to go with, Three Little Birds, even though it's overplayed, And, we've all heard it. We've all heard it way too many times. It's still, you listen to it, and it's still a great song.
Buffalo Soldier.
I like Buffalo Soldiers a lot. One Love, especially
One Love.
People Get Ready. No Woman, No Cry. I Shot the Sheriff. Get Up, Stand Up. Zimbabwe. Is a great song.
Okay, we said five, Gary.
Those are all the hits.
Going rogue here. Redemption Song, Iron Lion Zion, which was a posthumous song, but a great song. That's enough.
All right, that is. All right. Hey, I have a question. I don't have a problem with Tommy Lee getting beat up. I just don't know why he got beat up. Does anybody? By his own son.
The deal is the sons and Pamela Anderson think he's alcoholic. There's a shock. Okay? And so they claim they've been trying to do interventions, trying to talk to him. The son, Brandon, who Tommy Lee claims assaulted him, this week, says he was there trying to talk to his dad, trying to get his dad into some sort of treatment, and basically anything he did to Tommy was in self-defense. Tommy, before he quit social media this week, said no, that's not the case. He's accusing Pamela Anderson of trying to poison the kids against him using alcoholism as a reason. He says, he denies that he's alcoholic, although he does acknowledge having more drinks than, quote, the average Joe, and he is, he's actually asked for an injunction and a restraining order against his son.
So that will boil into a judge deciding whether or not Tommy is an alcoholic, won't it?
It could. Now, they could go to court, and try to get the courts to intervene. That's hard to do. Basically, a judge will rule on the restraining order request, and if he turns it down, he could do it by the basis of saying, "No, look, you're still a rock and roll drunk, and you need help. You don't need an injunction against your son who's trying to help you." If the judge decides that's the case,
yeah, but Tommy might not be able to take a whole lot more of his help, when he's getting knocked out.
Right. So it's a mess, and it's a shame, and he claims he's happier now than he's ever been. And he's engaged again and retired, as he says. So he just wants to be left alone to do whatever it is he's doing in his retirement.
All right. Well, we had the Oscars last weekend, and that never hurts with record sales, right?
Because all five of them, plus the Eddie Vedder version of Room at the Top, the Tom Petty song, all of them, big, 373% gain in aggregate total for all five of the nominated songs. So, and it's continued throughout the week. They're all streaming. Streaming is up like 600% on most of them. They're continuing to sell. And, that happens pretty much after every award show. Everybody's sitting on their couch with their phone or something. Oh, I want to have that song in my phone. And boom, you get a new one.
Oh, it's like the Hershey bars at the checkout. Oh, well, one of those.
A little bit.
John Williams says he's done with Star Wars. Who's going to take over, and what's it going to sound like?
I think whoever does Star Wars is going to make it sound a lot like John Williams. He certainly set up sonic parameters for what that's going to sound like. But he did say that was the deal when Star Wars came back. He told J.J. Abrams, who's producing them, that he would do the next three, and that, the three that we're seeing now, and then that's going to be it. Now, Michael Giacchino is the one who did Rogue One, and we've got John Powell doing the Solo movie that comes out this year. So I don't know that an heir apparent has been designated but it's apparently not going to be John Williams.
So I guess John Williams has enough money. He's just decided.
He's not interested in it.
I don't need what else is he going to do? He should be able to knock these things out no problem.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go listen to him. I mean, you know, soundtracks aren't the kind of thing you just toss on for pleasure listening. But go listen to the Star Wars soundtracks, and they're basically all variations on a theme.
Yeah.
So
right.
You know,
so is an average schmo going to be able to tell that it's not a John Williams soundtrack, or will everyone just go, yeah, it's Star Wars
music?
Like I say, my expectation is they're going to have somebody who will compose a lot like him and use those themes, because that's as identifiable with Star Wars as a lightsaber is.
Yeah, but if you had 2 Chainz or Lil Jon do that soundtrack,
that would be fun.
Take the whole thing in a new direction.
That would be fun. Could you see the people streaming from the theater when that happened?
A reggae version.
The world may not need another whiskey, but we're getting one, right?
Yeah, Metallica, why not? I mean, who says you don't need more whiskey? Of course, well, you are, you know, more rum.
Rum, a lot of rum here.
But yeah, no, Metallica is planning to do their own brand of whiskey. They're building their own distillery, apparently, probably out there. And they're working. They hired a guy from Maker's Mark to head the whole operation. So everybody.
Why don't they just?
When does it start paying off? Because it's got to age first, right?
Yeah,
I think I think they're talking about 3 to 5 years before you get your first batch ready.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are joking around saying, oh, let's call it Whiskey in the Jar, because that's the Thin Lizzy song that they've played a lot and they've recorded.
Seems obvious.
They're gonna get themselves into the whiskey business. You know, they've had wines in the past. So
why don't they just label? Just get a label. Well, buy a whiskey and label it.
Well, that's
as your whiskey.
I mean, that's kind of the, you know, but that's, I guess, the cheap way.
Steve, that would seem like a cheap money grab.
No, this is about the spirit, about the art of distilling.
Like, might be something to do.
Well, these guys do get into it. Sammy Hagar created his, you know, his liquors. He created that, you know, Cabo Wabo, and he created the rum, and he created this mezcal that he's doing now. So, you know.
Why, after 25 years, don't Bob and Brian have a product, something?
I don't know. They don't fly me to Jamaica, so, you know, it takes some time to do things.
Why are we taking heat on this all of a sudden?
Heat? I'm trying to give you money.
Right. Steve's trying to maximize it.
There ought to be a Bob and Brian jerky or something like that, you know?
You want to take on Jack things. You want to take on that Bigfoot
thing.
No,
you don't take them on. You just get a little slice.
Slice of the market. Add to the story.
Yeah, you just follow in their wake and scoop up whatever they don't pick up.
Before we let you go, Gary, we have to talk about Record Store Day release announced. Record Store Days before we move on.
Yeah, Record Store Day, which is on April 21st. Some of the cool day, they've rolled the list out, which, you know, is as long as, you know, somebody's rolling papers down there. But some of the cool stuff you've got is, you know, Back in Black, AC/DC, they're going to put it out on cassette. There's going to be a Jimi Hendrix single of songs taken from this new posthumous album that came out today. Allman Brothers Band live at the Atlanta Pop Festival 1970 on vinyl for the first time. You're going to have stuff from Kenny Loggins, Van Morrison, Living Color, Hot Tuna, Marvin Gaye, Johnny Cash. A bunch of others. I mean, the list does go on and on. But
more vinyl all the time. Where are they producing all this vinyl? Are they doing it in America? Are they doing it? Because I know that Germany was pressing a lot of stuff.
There are a lot of small independent vinyl record pressing plants in the United States. You know, Jack White is doing it with his Third Man pressing. So what you don't have anymore is like what you used to have in Terre Haute, Indiana. You had the big Sony pressing plant. And those all got closed down or shifted over to CDs. But there's still a lot of independent vinyl manufacturers. Speaking of which,
why don't you put out your best of CDs, Bob, on vinyl?
I ran that out there a couple of years ago, and it was a logistics problem. Getting it pressed was, at the time, it might be getting cheaper now, but at the time, pressing it was like, it's pretty expensive for a short run like that.
It is expensive, although I can introduce you to the guys at Third Man Pressing here in Detroit.
Interesting. I'd love to put our CD out on vinyl. Yeah, put out a limited number on vinyl. Like, you know,
how many? There's 24 years of it, or when did you start your CD?
There's probably 25 CDs altogether.
So you print the whole run of them, limited edition, sell them at a premium,
yeah,
make a little money, and make a collector's item for your fans and your needle nerds like you.
Yeah. Bzzz. But the problem is time, too. How much time can you get on a vinyl disc, Gary?
On the larger ones, I think you can get up to a half hour.
Half an hour.
And
okay.
We should note that you probably need to hire somebody really good to write the liner notes for that.
There we go.
Do you know somebody, Gary?
I can refer you.
All right, Gary.
All right, you guys.
That's all the time we have.
I would tell you to be careful down there, but I know that's just falling on deaf ears. So
pointless.
Have a great time, you and everybody who's there.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, Gary, we'll talk to you next week.
Yaman.
Yeah,